Well, this hits a little too close to home, so I'm going to let Glenn start.
All right. So...
My name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 221 of
How Married Are You? Okay, my name... Oh, they wanted me to do the five-star thing again. Okay. My name Belief. This is Yvette. We married 13 years. Live in California and we got four kids. Relationships scary. It's very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask how married are. Every Tuesday and Thursday, shoddy. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
One, two, three, and...
I didn't hear the music at all.
You didn't hear the music?
It's chocolate baby story time.
Is that better? Okay. So many things have happened this weekend. But, Raya is finally decided, and this is like a deep cut because the story's been developing for a long time.
Why don't you just sit down for a minute?
Raya has been doing hockey. He's about to start hockey season, so we finally got him his gear. It is so expensive. It is almost $700 in gear. So that's why, like, he really was like, just give me the gear and I'll practice. I was like, I'm not buying all that if you're not going to play. Are you crazy? He finally gets his gear. The next day, I wake up to meal prep. He is head to toe dripped in every ounce of gear he can find. He's got his mouthpiece in. I'm like, bro, you're supposed to boil it first so it can form to your mouth. He's just all covered in it. And he just kept looking at himself in the mirror. He thinks he looks so cool. And it was awesome because he did look so cool. And I'm very excited for this hockey season for sure.
That's super sweet. Yeah, me too. This morning, so this is a Monday after the time change, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And so this morning I woke up and I pressed snooze on my alarm several times. Mm-hmm. Several times. It's all good. It's whatever. So I decide within my spirit, I was like, hey, this is not going to be one of those mornings where I'm rushing and hurrying and doing all the fussing and fighting. I'm just going to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. I got myself completely ready to go. And then I went about to make the kids breakfast and their lunch and all the things. And Theo, he notices my zen. Let's call it a zen. And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to rush. We're late. We're going to be late. That's it. We're always late. So what's the difference? You know, like, let's just go with the flow. I'm not going to stress myself out. I don't want to feel that energy this morning.
Yeah.
And he goes, what book did you read? And
wow.
I was like, what? And he's like, what did you watch on Instagram? And I was like, what? This is a decision I made in and of myself.
Yeah. like you are influenced, obviously.
Yeah. And I was like, what kind of questions are these? I didn't really appreciate his interrogation.
Yeah.
But I just found it interesting that he knows that I would read a book or see something insightful on Instagram and practice it or try to implement it in life. I don't know. Mm. He's an interesting kid. I love him.
Super interesting. Super interesting. Man.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I meant to do that. Man, this is the... You guys have passed the moment to, get, what is it? The reduced tickets for the event?
Early registration.
Early registration. We want to make sure, we had to say this early right now. I just want to make sure we got this out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now you pay full price for the Unplugged Retreat. And I think this is going to be the time of your life. And I especially think this because we're experiencing something in life right now that is really difficult. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think right now this is a hard season, you are right. It is hard. But we know that the Lord is faithful. You know what I'm saying? And this time, even though we're going through the hard, we're going to embrace the hard and embrace the process because mm-hmm. we know on the other side, there's freedom, you know, and there is an understanding and a lesson. And so we're grateful for the lessons we are learning. And right now, Yvette needs a break like nobody's business, but she's got, what, a month and a half? A month and a half before you guys are out there in Arizona. And I'm excited, too, because I'm like, you know what? I'm finna be out there.
It's actually exactly 2 months.
It's 2 months. So I'm like, after you come back, and I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going. Come July, me gone.
Yeah,
I'm out of here.
And I am okay with that.
Yeah. So, the Unplug Retreat is available now. The link is in the description. The link is in the show notes. The link is wherever it needs to be. If you're watching right now, you see all this stuff.
I want to say something else before you move on.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, guys. At the time of this recording, we only have 2 spots left.
Whoa.
So hopefully if you're like someone who's just thinking about it and you're like, whatever, it's time to act.
Praise God. Yep.
It's time to act. We got 2 spots left. So make sure that you get your tickets ASAP.
Yeah. If you're watching this right now, you are seeing a bunch of stuff all over the table, and that's because I've decided to do Yvette's hair while we're doing this podcast. Now, that's very unorthodox, but I do feel like she has asked me to do her hair this weekend. Actually, she didn't ask. She asked me to wash her hair, and I was like, what? I never wash your hair. And she was like, oh, I meant do it. And I'm like, those are 2 very different things. So I'm going to do her hair during a podcast. She was not up for it, but I was like, yeah, let me do this right now. But yeah, so, and if you're listening, please like this, download it, give us a review, share it with someone you care about who needs this information. We're going to be going through an email real quick, but also I know this is going to be a very, very touching podcast because we've gone through a rough weekend. And so I know there's something that's going to happen in this podcast that normally doesn't. So
what's going to happen?
I just think, I don't know. I feel like because we're broken, I feel like the spirit is going to speak through us.
Broken and broke?
Broken means broke to me.
I have something to say also.
Can I start?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, can you start my hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are going to be, have a really exciting announcement that Glenn didn't mention.
Do I know about it?
Yeah. You know about it. So we are starting a community.
Oh, yes.
We are going to be, which camera am I looking at? This one?
Yeah, look at that one right there.
Okay. We are starting a community. And I am actually very excited about it because over the course of doing How Married Are You, people have been like, hey, how can we get access to you personally? And this is your opportunity to get access to us personally. We are starting an exclusive community for the wedding party. It is going to have a paywall in front of it or behind it. How do you say that? Or whatever. We're still working out all the details, but I want you guys to start thinking about that. It's going to be a monthly thing. It's not going to be too much. And then you can get a discount if you pay for the year all in advance. So just be on the lookout for more details about that. We are really excited about it. And if you are a current patron, right? Because they're not a Patreon, it's patron.
Yeah.
You guys need to be looking out in your emails because we have a special announcement coming to you regarding this community. All right, let's get into this episode. So we have an email. Disclaimer, I'm going to be all over the place in this email. Sorry in advance. I am a 33-year-old married female with 2 children that my husband and I share. My husband is my high school sweetheart, so we've been together for 16 years and married going on 8 years on March 7th. Their anniversary passed. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Most people always look at our marriage as perfect, which we both hate, but we have been having issues from 2022 up until a few months ago. Neither of us are able to understand what went wrong, as it felt like we flicked a light switch and the problems just were there. Girl. With individual therapy and having several extremely long conversations, I can confidently say that we are on the other side of said problems. However, there is one issue that continues reappearing in our relationship that dates back to 2017, his family. My husband's father is a sexist narcissist who has bad-mouthed me to 7 out of his 10 children, including my husband, for as long as they have sat around to listen to him. My husband and I moved to Atlanta in June of 2017 in hopes of him pursuing his dream of becoming an aircraft mechanic. Our family of 4 moved in with his mom, her husband, daughter, and her mom. We stayed with him until the beginning of 2019. As a lot of things transpired, and I was no longer going to subject myself or my children to behavior that my husband would not address. What? We stay with him. Okay. So she did that because she didn't want to put up with the stuff anymore. Okay, before we moved to Atlanta, I had a relatively good relationship with my husband's mom and his grandma. I'm sure I can attribute that to us to only seeing them a few times a year, each year that we've been together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't until we moved in with them and his mom and grandma started to show their true colors. Okay. Before I go into that, I want to speak on my husband's father. Okay, let's get there.
Oh, this is juicy.
He is privy of very young women. So his father expressed to my then boyfriend how beautiful he thought I was
The setup is a little... Sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
So his father expressed to my then boyfriend how beautiful he thought I was at around age 19. He never had any problems until my husband started working for his dad. We never had any problems until my husband started working for his dad, even though he barely made any money during that time. And myself and my husband's siblings began to tell my husband that his dad was using him to run all 3 of his failed businesses. At the time, my husband's dad owned a car wash, car lot, and a tow truck company all at the same time.
Okay, those are very profitable businesses.
Those are.
So I don't know how you messed that up.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I guess, you know, mismanagement can take a lot of turns. So yes. I understand.
We are from Michigan and we're living there during this time. My husband would answer calls for tows in the middle of the night and would stay in that truck for upwards of 12 hours waiting for customers to call in blizzard weather. He did this for days at a time because his father refused to get in the truck. My husband purchased vehicles from the auction, sold them, then willingly gave all of his earnings to his father. His dad willingly took all of his earnings, and he would have a feast with his younger kids that lived with him while we were at home eating rice and beans because my husband gave away all of his profit. The car wash was all still ran by my husband, but he never got paid for that. I have no idea why my husband was so loyal to a man that was clearly using him. Eventually, his father found out that his children were making fun of my husband because he was their father's errand boy. He also found out that I had the exact same sentiment. It wasn't until then that his father started to express his dislike for me to his children. He feared that he would be exposed and my husband would finally realize that he was only of use to his father if he could control him. It took a while, but my husband finally came into the light and recognized what his father had been doing to him for years.
Why does it take so long for what?
Nothing.
You're not just going to slide past that. Why does it take so long
You already know. When we see things, well, you know what, though?
Ooh,
I know. Yeah. I know where you're going. Leave me alone.
Let's stay here for a minute because that's a really good question.
I don't want to stay here.
Well, wait a minute.
I only wanted to stay here when it applied to you only.
Exactly. So I'm curious.
So let's not do it.
No, this is a podcast where we can talk about anything we want. It's all our right. podcast, okay? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to be using this? Is this rose water? Or can I use my spray?
You can use the spray. It's fine.
This is just water. So wait a minute. Okay, so there's something that just happened, right? So put your head down for me. So you were saying, why does it take so long? But that's a really good question
on both sides.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Why does it take so long? Why do you think it takes long? Or why did it take long for you?
Because sometimes you're just so into a system that you can't see.
Yes.
You know, like, you just can't see. Like, when you are, I need an analogy. But it's like your perspective and your viewpoint is not what other people are, other people's is. Is that how you say that? And so it's harder for you to be able to see all sides and all perspectives and like have that top down view. Mm-hmm. But as you progress, because sometimes we get so comfortable sitting amongst people and things,
systems
or whatever, that we don't necessarily get up. You know what I mean? It's like we're all nestled in. So it's like, I don't feel like getting up right now. And it doesn't seem like there's a need for me to get up. So why would I get up? But then there are circumstances in life that necessitate you to get up. And you get up and you realize, oh, shoot.
Sorry. Go ahead.
This isn't where I should be sitting right now. Mm-hmm. Or this isn't where I should be nestled in right now.
And or so, I don't belong here.
Or I don't belong here.
You know?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's an interesting perspective, because on both you and I's like life cycle, you know, we've had, you know, these moments where it's kind of like, hey, you're not hearing me and I'm actually right. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm actually listening and trying to, I'm speaking to your best interests, but you can't even see it. You don't even recognize what's good for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could put that back for now. And so I think that, you know, being understood, like, you don't have to agree with me, right? And I think one of the things that I've we've said to each other is that I said, what can I have said to you to get you to see that I'm trying to help us, you know? Because I think for me, it was like, all right, well, there was one time Yvette and I got into some stuff and I was like, oh, this is a, I need to pay someone to help me figure this out. And the payment for me figuring this out was $10,000. Okay. It was $10,000. And so what I said was, what can I say? Like, I think our thing was like, hey, this is a $10,000 conversation. Mm-hmm. Do we want to spend the money or do you want to just listen? You know, and that's one of the things that I brought up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was, I'm trying to decode the language so Yvette doesn't think I'm trying to harm her when I'm giving her, when I think I'm trying to communicate, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I also think what is helpful is when we have trusted mentorship and people in our, like, wise counsel, to be able to say, hey, this is what Glenn's saying. I don't see it. Is there any way you can help me understand this perspective? Am I missing something?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that is something I have access to now that makes it easier to, like, hear you when I don't hear you.
Yeah. And, you know, we both trust our mentors.
And the people. Like, I trust who's mentoring him and his therapist. And I think it goes vice versa.
Yes, exactly.
So even when I take things to them, it's like a trusted source.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why it takes so long is a breakdown in language. Not understand different dialects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, like, speaking the same language and understanding what that language is saying. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like, hey, I know you don't get it, but this is going to cost us $10,000 if we don't.
Yeah.
And I know you know what that means.
And you already know we broke.
Yeah.
So.
And we can't afford $10,000. So you could just listen or we can go through this pain. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that works for both of us.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry.
Fast forward to 2021 and my husband's entire family has moved to Atlanta. And my father-in-law proceeds to tell anyone willing to listen how much he doesn't like me. My father-in-law admitted to my husband that he is jealous of me because of my relationship with his son, which I believe fuels his hatred towards me. I have never done anything wrong to his father. I've never raised my voice at his father or made him feel uncomfortable in my home. Going back to 2017, we moved in with his mom, her husband, her mom, and okay, we moved in with his mom, her husband. So obviously the mom is remarried.
Oh, okay, got it.
And then her mom. So the mom's her mother-in-law's mom and daughter. And okay, so I'm assuming that's her sister-in-law. I've learned that a healthy couple can't coexist with an unhappy couple on the brink of divorce, no matter the age of that couple. The level of projecting that took place during our time there was insane. I absolutely adored my husband's stepfather as he took great care of my mother-in-law and her family, but I quickly learned that she never loved him. My husband's mom is an opportunist, and he tried to warn me about her before we moved to Atlanta. Who tried to warn you? But it was hard for me to believe him. Oh, okay.
The husband.
She was always kind to me throughout the years. Making the story short,
You know what I'm doing.
Making the story short, his mom started to be nice, nasty towards me because she was causing her marriage to fail. I knew that her anger towards me was due to my relationship with her son. We had a great relationship, but his mom and grandma started to create friction between him and I. His grandma began to speak to me with no respect and belittle me. I didn't know where that energy was coming from because I never had a bad relationship with his grandma. I would tell my husband about that their behavior, but he would never address it. I proceeded to just take it out of respect for my husband. It wasn't until his grandma started to treat our children the way she was treating me. That's when I had to step up and defend our children and myself because my husband would never say anything. Of course, that caused a lot of strain in our marriage because it was becoming a trend. He never said anything to his father of all of the times that he was present to hear him badmouthing me. He never said anything to his mom or grandma, which left me having to defend myself against them. We finally moved out in 2019. It was at that moment that his grandma started to be very nice to me again. I'm assuming that she just didn't want me to live with her family. I accepted the fact that she will never take accountability for her actions. So I left the problems in the past. I'm not about to have beef with an 80-year-old woman.
I'm petty enough to do it.
I know you are. His mom is a different story. She proceeded to speak bad about me to her cousin, who is like a second mom to my husband. The cousin is also very messy. Goodness gracious. And was also nice, nasty towards me because she is territorial over my husband. She would call me and tell me everything that my mother-in-law would say to her about me. But I knew better than to fall in her trap. Eventually, I had to be the adult in the situation and contact my husband's mom. I told her that I wanted to leave all of that in the past. We don't have to like one another, but it's only right to be cordial for the sake of my husband and children. She agreed, and all has been decent since. I don't have a relationship with his mom, but I have no problems with her. I am around her quite often, and I don't hold a grudge. We speak and have conversations when we are in one another's presence, but a relationship will never be. His dad still doesn't like me, but I don't care. That isn't my problem, so I'm not going to try to look for solutions. His older cousin is someone I hold at arm's length. She is very sneaky and almost always has ill intent. Goodness gracious.
Whole family, man.
Jeez. There is so much more to this story, but I would be here all day writing it out. Of course, being treated like crap by my husband's family for years without him ever addressing anyone has caused me to lose respect for him to a degree. I don't feel like he will ever be there for me if I ever needed him to step up. I have to have my own back. I'm stepping up for him multiple times when my family members have said things that I knew were untrue about him. That's what hurts. I've expressed to my husband how all of that made me feel. He apologized several times, but this is the one topic that seems to keep coming back up in our relationship. The damage was done, and I'm not sure how long it will take to repair that trust and respect. Anyways, I've talked enough and went around in circles. Girl, this was not circles. This was very direct.
I feel like it was some circles in there. She said she was going to be all over the place.
Oh, man, and we missed it. They're going to be in, they were in San Diego the first week of March. Is it still the first week? I'm so sorry. I wish we could have helped you out there.
What did they
and
want?
She
what
sent a picture. They have such a... No, she wanted recommendations on things to do or places to eat.
Oh.
Beautiful family. Woo! well, this hits a little too close to home, so I'm going to let Glenn start.
Look, y'all, let's not be hopeless as we pursue love. Our premarital advantage is available for 50% off. These are all the questions, all the conversations we wish we had before we got married, okay? And even if you are in a relationship, this is a really good conversation starter to make sure you guys are on the same page about a lot of different things. Now, this is a spring sale, so it's only available at this price for a limited time. Make sure you go to the show notes and hit the link to sign up for the premarital advantage right now.
All right, so
sorry if you were listening. I realized I just screamed in the
no, you're fine. I'm listening to the, in the mic.
Oh, yeah, because I can't hear.
Yeah, okay, so I think that you know, man. I think you should talk.
I guess I don't really know what to say. So in this situation, I am the husband. I am the husband. And
I don't think people talk bad about me.
No one talks bad about Glenn. Everyone loves Glenn, actually. However, there is a particular relationship that I have... I don't know, babe. I feel like you should lead the discussion and I'll come in. I don't know how to say things without...
This is your story. This is your story. Like, this is your story. It's your lesson. You know what I'm saying? But I can talk, but I'm going to just talk like me. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that is... I don't think I am the right person to speak to this because... off top, because... I don't remember, you know how you're like, hey, I'm like, hey, I don't understand. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have the degree of, you know, value that family holds for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm speaking a completely different language as if kind of like, yeah, you know, it ain't going to work out. We're not going to be friends. You know what I'm saying? And that is okay with me. She sounds like she's doing exactly what she needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I am not... I don't really like family systems that hold you hostage and manipulate you. It's like a hostage negotiation to where you're going to play by our rules or you're not going to play at all. So I have stuff to say, but I do feel like this is your email specifically, you know.
Yeah, I.
How's it going pain wise back here?
You're good? Fine. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I really don't. I feel like I have come to a place where I get it now. I get it better than I've gotten it in the past. I feel like I am in a place where I can show up better on behalf of my husband when he is wronged by people in my family or just by people in general. I still have conversations that need to be had. And for me, it's a matter of, in this time, like in this moment, it's a matter of capacity. And there's so much of life happening in a variety of relationships. There's so much of life happening in the family that we have created together. There are moves we're making. There are decisions we're making. There are things that we're doing. And it's like, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that out loud because it's like, why wouldn't you feel like it? Or why wouldn't you address these things? But for me, I will say this is what it has been for me. For me personally, I've always shown up a certain way in my family. And so... And I realized, okay, let me go back. for me personally, I feel like there is this, like, I don't even know what to call it. It's not a stronghold. It's like a, my family of origin is like my ride or die, or that's how I have perceived them, or that's the place that I have given them in my life. They are people who I am like, I need to cling tight to these people because they are like my safety blanket, or they're like my safe place. And unfortunately, yeah, unfortunately, in my old age and in the work that I'm doing in therapy and in like having a family of my own, I'm realizing that there was so much about that attachment or relationship that wasn't necessarily safe. And it's not necessarily at the fault of anyone in my family, I wouldn't say.
That's not true.
I just believe that they weren't equipped properly to be able to offer that safety, or however you want to think about it. And so for me, I think that for me, I've valued that family of origin more than I valued the family that I've created with Glenn.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me that maybe even like 6 months ago, I would have said that's a lie. But my actions speak for themselves. And so I'm coming to understand that like this is really like a leave and a cleave. I chose Glenn. Glenn chose me. We've built this beautiful family together, and now they are my priority. Protecting them, honoring them, that is the priority. And so I believe that your husband doesn't necessarily see.
Say it.
I'm trying to get the words. Goodness gracious.
Sorry. I'm like, this is your story. Say this. Sorry.
I feel like your husband doesn't necessarily see his responsibility to the new family he has created. Mm-hmm. And he still feels an allegiance to these people who have literally like been with him from birth until now. And so there is a level of loyalty that he feels toward them where he doesn't want to lose them. And this is, let me speak for myself. I do believe there became a point where I believe Glenn's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but you didn't believe that though, right?
So it's like a twofold thing. It's like I believed it and I didn't believe it. I was all mixed up in the head, and I'll admit that. But there's a point where it's like I believed that Glenn isn't going anywhere. And then I also believed, well, if Glenn does go somewhere, I gotta have somewhere to fall back on. You know what I mean? And so I sometimes overextended myself or didn't have the necessary conversations with my family because I didn't want to risk losing them. I didn't want to lose them because I needed them just in case this didn't work out. But also, there were times when I could have stood up for Glenn or protected him in a way that would have, you know, I forgot my train of thought there. But yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, that's very well put, babe. And I think that what I love about this is that you can speak through it because you speak to it because you're going through it.
Yeah.
And it's not any shade. It's just like, all right, well, the issue is not the family, because the family has been the family. Mm-hmm. The family has always been what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's nothing wrong with them, technically. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because this is how this is how things have been allowed to operate.
Yeah.
And no one said, hey, we can't stand for this. So now that you say, hey, I'm not doing that. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's not our problem. That's a problem for the system. You know? And I think that, you know, for this woman, I can speak to her.
Yeah.
But now that she has the husband's heart a little bit, he doesn't have the tools to fight the system. The system was built, the family system, right? And we say all the time, family's foundation, mm-hmm. right? The family system is built to maintain its structure. and it's maintained its structure by the patriarch. What is it? Patriarch and the matriarch of the family,
mm-hmm.
right? So those individuals set the tone, and mm-hmm. they create the rules. Now, if any of that is involved with ego, you know what I mean? Or like manipulation or whatever, like it can be very hard to even recognize that that's happening. No, that's just how she is. Actually, that might be narcissistic behavior. That may be a trigger from a childhood trauma. That's why they're doing that, because they don't want to be abandoned, and they will do anything not to be abandoned. And I'm not speaking specifically. I'm just speaking in terms of how manipulation tactics are used, even in, you know, intimate relationships with husband and wives. Like we use these tools in order to keep each other around or whatever. Dang, your hair is getting so long. And so I don't think that. I just want to give the wife a little bit of context, because it will make you lose respect for your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make you feel unseen, unprotected, and unsafe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have felt all those things, you know? But one thing I couldn't do was force her to recognize that the system was faulty. Like, I could only try to communicate with the language I had and say, hey, I'm not doing that. Or like, hey, don't make me feel bad, because I don't want to do that. You know? Or I can't completely go there with you or go there with this person because of this one thing. And I can't move from that. And Yvette will fight tooth and nail to be like, no. And it wasn't so much that Yvette had to protect me as much as it was that she... I'm talking about like you're not here. Like, I feel like you didn't recognize my voice like as valid, you know?
I think too, because you are such a strong personality and you are not someone who doesn't address things yourself like head on.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a part of me that was like, oh, I don't have to like do anything because he's got it. He's already standing up for himself and saying what needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
But my lack of saying anything, I feel like further communicated to you that I was, my lack of saying anything and then my lack of boundaries communicates to you that I condone the behavior. Or maybe it's not necessarily, I guess it's communicating to both parties that, yes, I condone the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe that at some point it is our responsibility to speak up and be like, no, that's off. Like, mm-hmm. that's not okay. And I won't allow that to go forward with my spouse. Like, you're not going to treat my husband like that,
mm-hmm.
type of behavior.
Yeah. And for the record, I don't feel like anybody was mistreating me that I couldn't, yeah, handle myself. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, you know, somebody was talking bad about me or anything like that. It just was, I'm like, hey, I'm recognizing almost like symptoms. And I'm like, we need to watch out for that right there. That's going, if that keep going on, this is going to turn into this. And this going, you know what I'm saying? And I look almost like a crazy conspiracy theorist, you know? Because I'm like, I don't know if this thing is, you know what I'm saying, as solid as you think it is, love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for me, I'm like, these type of things, like this, these type of systems that are created in families are without a doubt 100% replicated.
Yeah.
In our children.
Yeah.
Because it's how we're learned to deal with each other. And a dad should always have the son, you know, do this. Like my dad, you know, not my dad, but like, you know, dad's like, oh, you know, you got to call me all the time. I don't have to call you. You should be pursuing your father. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not true at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to do that. That's not anything I'm recognizing as my truth. Right. But we'll create these things because tradition. And I don't think that's fair. And so how does she gain respect for her husband again? What does he need to do?
Well, I don't know. I feel like that's something you have to answer. But I will say, right? No?
Well, I feel like you're the one.
I mean, I think there's things, there are conversations that need to be had. There are things that need to be addressed. In this particular example, he needs to be having a conversation with all of his family. And then I think, too, that the family needs to understand this family gossip and, like, whatever is just distasteful. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that the aunt, the second mom, whoever that woman was, would call this woman and tell her all the things. It's like, well, you sat there long enough to listen. Why didn't you shut her up? You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of unhealthy behavior happening within the family unit as a whole that he also, like, he can start doing things like if his family does call him to talk about whoever, be like, hey, I'm not going to listen to this. I don't have time for this. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go tell somebody else or talk to them directly, but I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. Just like I don't appreciate it when you guys say X, Y, and Z about my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, go ahead.
No, I was going to just say that, you know, Nona Jones says it in her book, Killing Comparison, which, once again, you need to read. Everybody needs to read it. I feel like it should be straight up mandatory reading for anybody who has social media, personally. You know what I'm saying? But she goes, why would I allow somebody to contaminate another image bearer? You know what I'm saying? She goes, why would I let somebody else, like, mess up my image of an image bearer of God? Like, no, I'm not going to entertain that. And I'm like, okay, now we're cooking. Like, I understand that. There is levels to this, and there's one thing to be like, all right, I'm not going to entertain gossip, right? But for the sake of God's image of them and God's intentions in their life, it's going to mess that up. You know what I mean? And my, like, I can't even root for them when they win, you know, because of, you know, what has been said about them. So, you know, there are situations where somebody can be running a campaign against you, you know, in your family, in your life. I'm going to turn you a little bit. Oh, there it is. You know, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think Yvette has grown tremendously, you know. We've had such hard times on this thing. I would feel like, oh, man, like, I'd be talking to God like, Lord, I don't know how long I could deal with that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I didn't join this marriage to come second to people that are way outside of, you know, our relationship. But I think, too, what it says to me, babe, to me in that season, I'm sorry, I got water in your ear. You hate this. Because you can't even react how you usually react. Because
I can't, right now. Well, first of all, this is a conversation where I'd like to be looking at you, reading your facial expressions and all the things. So I don't know if I'm a huge fan of this. I would like at least another screen or something.
To see me?
Are you making facial expressions?
I'm talking, so I'm expressing what I think.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, make sure I didn't get a... Okay. So, yes. What was I saying?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was saying that, you know, I'm talking to God like, Lord, I don't know how long I can deal with this. But at the same time, it shows me that you're not fully committed in this relationship. That communicates to me, oh, I'm not going to protect you. I'm going to make sure I save face with my family over you. You know what I'm saying? Like, over making sure you feel like you have an adversary here. I mean, a friend here, you know? I'm gonna make sure I save face, I keep face with my family. Like, that's more important to me. So to me, I'm like, oh, I love Yvette more than she loves me, and I'm willing to prove that by throwing aside any other relationship. I really believe that. Do you know that?
Now I know that. Yes.
I really did believe that because I'm like, well, here's an example. Here's a right here example. You know, there are people that come before you. I mean, there are people that come before me in that same situation in my life that does not happen. And Or it was like, you definitely, I would rather say I love you more than me than you love them more than me.
I would rather say
I love you more than you love me than you love them more than you love me.
Oh, yeah.
Because that will hurt too much.
Mm-hmm.
Which is understandable because they are your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that because the divorce rate is so high, like to everybody else, there's a way out.
Yeah. I will say too that I don't know how many conversations you guys have had or whatever, but Glenn has been able to put words to how he feels whenever I do prioritize my family before him. And y'all know Glenn, kind of. He doesn't hold back. And so sometimes hearing the raw, honest truth of how he feels or how it makes him feel in those situations, that actually like got to me more than anything else, if I'm honest. Just hearing, because I was like, I had to take some inventory too. And then again, I had someone in my life who spoke to me and was like, hey, you do prioritize your family above your family. And it's like you want them so bad that, you know, whatever. And I didn't see it until she was able to kind of point it out and give concrete examples. Even though it was something that Glenn had been saying, he wasn't able to say it the way she said it, if that makes sense.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, here's the thing. I know that you say, hey, you know, Glenn speaks his mind, Glenn. I would have never said that to you. Like, I could not have said that. But then I started getting to the point where I was kind of like, I'm going to just say whatever I'm thinking because what I'm doing is not working. And what she's doing, like how you were treating me, wasn't working for me. So it's like either I don't speak my mind and I just feel the pain and I'm just sitting there angry, or I tell you exactly what I'm thinking and just let it fall where it may. And I'll tell you the thing I said. Yvette asked me a stupid question. Do you remember?
No.
Okay. This is going to hurt. Y'all going to hate me for this. Yvette goes, if you could do it all over again, remember?
No.
You were like, would you have married me if you knew that this was going to be your situation?
Yeah.
And I was like, would I have married you if I knew I was always going to come second to such and such and such and such and such and such, and I would have this situation and this situation? No. And it hurt to say, and I think Yvette was like maybe throwing me an olive branch to say like, hey, this could be a good night still. Like, we can still have like a cool night or whatever. Like, we don't have to argue. And I was like, nah, I'm willing to risk it all. Because at this point, I don't think Yvette had heard me yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after this where I was just like, no, I wouldn't choose this. You know, again, I wouldn't choose this because I just can't. And so after that, you had a conversation with your therapist.
I think that conversation that we had then was as a result of the conversation I had with my friend.
Okay, yeah. And then you ended up apologizing.
Yeah.
So I would say that when we said, what should that guy do? I think he needs to apologize. I think, but I don't think he can see it yet. But when he can.
Yeah, when he can see it.
There's a huge apology that needs to happen because it really is supposed to be you and your spouse. And that is, it is what it is. And I know that makes some people, mama's boys and all y'all, whatever. I know that make y'all upset, and daddy's girls and mama's girls or whatever situation is. I know that makes you upset, but it is what it is. Like, you chose that person. You said yes. You committed. This isn't love is blind. This is covenant. This is, I'm here for it. I'm here for the everything bad, everything good. I'm here for it all,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, you know? And it's easy for me to say, because as far as family units are concerned, I didn't really have a lot of, you know, like Y'all didn't have a family like that. Like, it was me, my mom, and then sometimes me, my dad, and my sister, and my stepmom. And then it was me, my mom, and my brother. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't, like, a place where I was like, all right, man, this is me, you know?
Yeah.
I was always kind of like a resident, you know, being managed.
And I used to use that as an excuse to why Glenn didn't get it.
Why like, I didn't love people.
Or why he didn't understand my attachment to my family. It's like, you just don't get it. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, whatever. But, yeah. I will say this. I feel like a resource that has been super helpful to me in being able to see things a little bit more clearly is Drama Free by Nidra. I don't remember her full name, but she is a therapist. She's a Black therapist. And it's like that perspective that where it's like you, it's not necessarily anything that I hadn't heard or known or whatever, but she paints the picture in such a way that you see yourself. Because I feel like definitely like there's sometimes when I read snippets to Glenn, he's like, I've been telling you this.
I don't say anything. She just look at me like, I know.
But that book is such a good book. I'm still reading it right now, but
yeah, that book is kicking her butt.
It has been such a good read for me to kind of, you know, break outside of what I have been willing to accept and allow. And so I think that if you are somebody who, you know, maybe you don't, even if you have a healthy relationship with your family, I still think it's a good book for everybody to read, just to read.
Yeah. So that you don't become it by mistake too. Like,
yeah,
and inherit some of those issues. Mm-hmm. Because I'm realizing too that like we really have to be in love with each other for our children to leave and us to really stay connected.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if we have other things in the way, like I can feel myself starting to build a wall.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm not getting too close to you. I can't trust you.
Yeah.
You know? And that happened on the other side with me at one point too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where it was like, oh, you gonna do this? Okay. I'm good. I'm cool on you. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't need to be close to you. I don't need to be connected, and I'll leave right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where Yvette was at one point. And so only because we've been there, we can recognize, oh, this ain't how it's supposed to be at all. You know, and God has so much more for us specifically, and he's got so much more for them. But, you know, there has to be like, as much as people say it's no manual, like there has to be some type of like boundaries, rules that we follow. Hey, I'm not standing for this. This ain't gonna happen, you know. But it seemed like homeboy was trying to tell his wife about his mom, at least.
He did.
You know.
But it took him a while to see his dad for who he is.
Oh, man, you know. And I think, you know, Daddy's Boys is just a whole nother level to me because what happened? Oh, we know somebody who will do anything for their father. You know what I'm saying? And you end up hurting people around you to make your dad happy. You know what I mean?
Who do we know?
How can I say it?
Just mute the mic and tell me so I know who we're talking about.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that is like, it seeps everywhere. Your family issues seep into your business. Mm-hmm. It goes everywhere. You know, you can't even really, I don't even know. It's really difficult. Mm-hmm. And not to say that I don't have any family issues, because I know I got a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I just really don't have a lot of attachment. You know what I'm saying? So it's really hard for me to like, I don't know. And do you think I have a lot of attachment or no? Am I tripping?
Do you have a lot of attachment to your family? Mm-hmm. No. That's the problem. Or it's not a problem. It's just, that was my problem.
Mm-hmm. And I love that about you, actually. But then it became an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the things that originally attracted you to me. Mm. I was like, yeah, this is perfect. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, uh-oh, this is, you know, it was hard.
Yeah.
All right, well.
How married are you, love?
I'm so married that I'm doing your hair right now.
I knew that was going to be his. I knew it was.
And I'm purposefully doing your hair right now like this in front of the camera so you can't do that thing you do.
What do I do?
You know what you do.
What do I do?
You be like, you're not doing it right. It's not supposed to feel like that. Ah.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if you're doing it right. And I just realized I didn't bring my dryer to sit underneath. So I don't know what I'm about to.
We have a dryer. We have a dryer here.
Oh, you do?
Remember that old school
dryer?
Does
it work?
Yeah, it works.
Oh, maybe I need to sit underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe next episode you'll sit underneath the dryer.
That would be noisy.
You hear the whole episode. How married are you?
I'm so married. This morning I was already out and about running errands, and you were about to leave the office to go do an errand that I couldn't do. So I was like, no, I'll do it. I'll do it right now.
That was super helpful.
Yeah. Yep. And that's just how married we are.